Let's ask the Lord to help us tonight. Luke 18, verse 1. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and we pray that it would have preeminence in our life, not only, Father, in every service as we preach, but in our lives on a daily basis. And I pray, Father, you'd help us tonight and speak to us in a very real way. We pray that you would impress upon our hearts the importance of prayer. And Lord, may we see it differently than before. I know if I would survey the audience tonight, Father, I know that everyone would say it's so important and so on, but maybe it's not important in our lives. And I'm asking, Lord, that you deal with our hearts. I pray, Father, there'd be repentance. I pray there'd be a change, and we'd have a great, great 10 days of prayer that would greatly affect our church and affect the life of our church in this year as a church. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And notice, if you would, Luke 18, verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and the same, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow, was to say, troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Thank you. May be seated. I want to say yes. He will find faith on the earth. And he's going to find it here in Long Island Baptist Church in Holtsville, New York. And I'm not saying there are other churches that don't express faith. I know there are other churches that are doing the same thing we're doing. They're starting off the year in prayer. But I say to you, let's say yes, that God is going to find faith when he returns to this planet. Now, our Lord teaches two parables on prayer, one for the saint and one for the sinner. The second one, which is further down, we find here, is that right? Let me just double check. Anyway, you know the second one. I don't believe it's in this chapter. I think I was wrong on that. But anyway, we find where the second parable, it deals with an unsaved man who's self-righteous. God does not hear or answer the prayer of the self-righteous. And the Bible calls him a hypocrite. But he does to those who scripturally, listen now, soberly and sincerely seek him. Now, life for a widow in Jesus' day was usually very difficult. They were among the most defenseless in society. And our Lord gives us explicit direction here in our treatment of the widows and the fatherless in James chapter 1, verse 27. And the Bible tells us that we're not to take advantage of them. And society back in these days, they did. Concerning the legality, they were victims. In our Lord's preaching in Matthew 23, he condemned the Pharisees because they devoured widows' houses. So they were very vulnerable. But notice the scope of this lesson. There's an unjust judge and there's an unwavering widow. And I think that's important to see tonight. An unjust judge and an unwavering widow. And Jesus gave this for the very purpose to encourage us to pray. Notice verse 1 now, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, the secret of prayer is found really in two verses here. Notice, if you would, verse 5. And notice the Bible says here in verse 5 that the judge says this, because this widow troubleth me. Underline that tonight, if you would, and I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she what? Weary me. And that's what God says about this woman. And this is really speaking about her prayer. She troubles the unjust judge, and she wearies the unjust judge. Now notice verse 7. This is so important to see here. And the Bible says, and shall not God avenge his own elect? That's us. Those been saved, which cry, what does it say there? Now that's interesting. Do you pray day and night? Maybe that's why this woman had an answer from the judge, and why we don't have an answer from God as we ought to. Day and night. Though he bear long with them. So we find the secret of prayer is in verse 5. Troubleth me, weary me, which cry day and night. And then notice it really speaks about her importunity, that she was persistent. She wore out the judge. It speaks here in this, the idea here about wearing this judge out, about a black eye. Anyone ever get a black eye before from a punch? Anyone? I didn't get one. I should have got one from Kathy Robb. She hit me so hard in the face. But I didn't. I had a bloody nose, though. She knocked me into the wall. She said, wait a second, preacher. I'm telling you, she came up behind me. I had no idea. I was turning around, and she pounded me right in the face. That's another story for another day. It might have been part of it because I used to sing that song, How Do You Handle a Hungry Man? But anyway, I deserved it probably. Anyway, her persistence wore out the judge, and speaks of a blackened eye. It could speak of a blackened eye concerning his reputation, concerning his public embarrassment, that this widow woman kept coming before him, a blackened eye because of her continuing to hit him over and over and over. About what? The same thing. Now, even an unjust judge can have shame about him. And this is what was going on. This is the story Jesus gives us. Now, notice the exhortation to pray in verse 1 and verse 8. He says here that men ought always to pray, not to faint. Verse 8, I'll tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. So notice here we find where this is the positive, that men ought to always to pray. And this is the negative, we're not to faint, we're not to lose heart. And that's what happens many times. We start praying about something and we're faithful at it, week, 2 weeks, maybe a month, maybe even a year. And then all of a sudden we faint. We stop praying about it. Well, God didn't hear my prayer. God hasn't heard my prayers. How do you know God hasn't heard your prayers? Was it according to his petition? Was it according to his will? Then he has heard your prayer. He just has not answered in the timing you thought he should. So we ought never to faint, the Bible says. We ought to keep on praying as long as we know it's God's will. And let me just use a simple example about a lost person. Is it God's will that they should be saved? Yes. So we should never stop praying for them unless God has laid upon our heart that I'm done with them. And that is a rare case, my friend. So we find here we're not to faint, we're not to lose heart. One man said it's only the always that will prevent the fainting. It is only the always. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now notice, if you would, just back up to Luke chapter 11, please. Luke chapter 11. And notice, if you would, verse 5. Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. And the Bible says, he said, and which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. So we find here the idea of importunity, a continuing on, as we go to chapter 21 of Luke, a continuing on of banging on that door. I have some friends who've come by. I know you've got the bread. I know you've got the loaves. I need the loaves. My children are sleeping. It doesn't matter. I need it. I've got friends who've come afar. They're hungry. We have nothing. I need those loaves. That prayer of importunity, continuing to knock. Asking you shall find, asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. That's the idea that the Lord is trying to drive home to His New Testament church, the importance of continuing in prayer, not to give up the importunity, staying after it, believing God for it. Care if it's a year, 5 years, 10 years, 40 years, 50 years. I can't tell you how many testimonies I've heard. People pray for 25, 30, 40 years for a parent, for a brother, for a friend who finally comes to Christ. What if they would have stopped praying? What if they would have gave up? What would it have been like at the judgment seat of Christ? Finding out they could have been saved and we failed. Or at the great white throne judgment where they could have been saved, but we failed. So we find here the importance, again, of not fainting. There's so many verses in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. You know what that speaks of? It speaks of a bad cough. You've had it before. You cough, you pray without ceasing. You keep praying, and you keep praying, and you keep praying, and you keep praying. And it goes back to John 15, the importance of abiding in Christ, of staying by the stuff, of walking with the Lord, of submitting to His Word, of being in fellowship with God. Now, if you're right with your spouse, you could jump in pretty much any time of the day. Unless their husband's in a meeting, the wife's in a meeting, or something that they cannot speak. Can I call you back in a few minutes? My son John called me today, and he said, "Hey, Dad, how you doing?" I said, "Can I call you back in 2 minutes?" And about an hour later, I don't know if it was longer, he said, "That's the longest 2 minutes I've ever experienced." But anyway, you get the point. There are times that you just can't, but if the relationship is right, you're right with your friend. You're right with your family. You got to be able to step in their lives at any time. Well, so it is with the Lord. And there ought to be fellowship throughout the day. You ought to be talking to God throughout the day. Pray without ceasing. Just like a cough, you just keep coughing because you got a bad cough. Well, that's the same idea. You're still talking to God, and it's constantly coming up to pray to God, to talk to God, to ask, to thank God, to praise God, and so on. And so we find pray not ceasing in Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer. The second thing we see is the example of prayer found here back in Luke chapter 18, if you would, Luke 18. And notice verse 2 through 5. And we see the example, the exhortation out of the example. And you see here where the Bible says the story about this unjust judge. And notice the Bible says in verse 2, the last part, neither regarded men. There was a widow in that city, and she came and avenged me of mine adversary. He would not for a while. See, he didn't care about her. He could care less. He had bribes to take. He had business to attend to. He had other decisions to make, except for this woman. This woman. But her attitude was, he's my only hope right now. He's the only one who can avenge me of my adversary. And so I'm going to stay after him. I'm going to stay after him till my prayer is answered, until he makes a decision on my case. And in the same light, God says a little bit further down, verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect? Look, if he's unjust and he answers that widow woman's request, how much more shall your heavenly Father, who loves you with an everlasting love, answer your prayers that are prayed according to his will? He's corrupt, this judge, no fear of God, no care for man, just his desire to further himself, his ways, his agenda, his course, his advancement, purely self-interest. And notice the widow woman here in verse 3. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, avenge me of my adversary. She had no recourse within herself. Now, understand this, that the Lord paints a picture here with such few words of two distinct people, a judge and a widow. Now, I want you to go with me, if you would, to 2 Chronicles. Put a marker there, 2 Chronicles 19. 2 Chronicles 19, and notice, if you would, please, verse 6. 2 Chronicles 19. Notice, if you would, in verse 6. I'll read 6 and 7. And said to the judges, take heed what you do, for you judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in that judgment. Wherefore, now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of person, nor taking of gifts. So here our Lord lays down in the Old Testament what he wanted judges to do. And he makes it very plain. He tells them, I want you to be like me. I don't want you to take gifts. I don't want you to choose sides. I want you to be just. And of course, this man is just the opposite. He would not make good judgment, good decisions. He did not fear the Lord. We find here that this woman had no recourse to obtain a redress or justice from this rogue judge. No bribe money. She didn't have money like that. There was no ability to threaten him or harm him. She's a widow woman. She's nothing. He was a judge. He could bless or break her life, a situation. The one thing she had was a heavy heart. She had a broken heart, a need that only he could meet. As we go back to our text, she says, avenge me of my adversary. Now, let me just say this tonight before we move on. I have believed this for the last couple, 2-3 years. I don't know that we'll see revival. We have good meetings. I don't know that we'll see revival until there's a spirit of brokenness over all our lives. What I mean by spirit of brokenness? What I mean is very simply that there is a spirit that comes over us, not an emotional feeling, but a spirit of I am broken over my sin. I am broken over the lost that are among us. The pillow has become hard for me. I have a hard time not crying over the lost. A spirit of brokenness about our church. You say, oh, preacher, you know, God's really blessed our church. I know He has. Praise the Lord for the mission thrust. Praise the Lord for men that are going forth from our church. But beloved, it's nothing compared to what we need to have. We would look like Deadsville compared to Antioch. Amen? It doesn't have to be that way. But there's got to be a brokenness. You know what was missing in Laodicea? Brokenness. They were satisfied. They were lukewarm. They were happy where they were. They had a lot of material goods. A lot of things going well. Matter of fact, they didn't even have to have God in their service. That's how good things were going for them. That's not the spirit of our church. And then we don't want to head to that spirit. We want, if Laodicea is that way, we want Antioch. If Laodicea is that way, we want Philadelphia. If Laodicea is that way, we want Ephesus. But it's not going to come, beloved, unless you and I do business with God in prayer, in having a devotional life. You and I cannot just show up to church, put in our 10% and expect it's going to go well. You and I have got to be worshiping God. We've got to come to God with a spirit of importunity. A spirit, I'm not going to quit in prayer until God answers my prayer. Because He said, because the Bible says, because the Bible commands us. And I'm not taking anything less from God than what He promised us. See, I preach, you know, there are not a lot of churches like ours, and comparison to all the false churches. I mean, there's many, but in comparison, there's not many. Doesn't matter, beloved. Doesn't matter what churches are compromising. Doesn't matter what churches are moving away from the King James Bible. Doesn't matter what churches have thrown out their standards of holiness, of dress, of separation. Doesn't matter. Our church is not changing. Now, I'm going to tell you how it's going to change. The only way it's going to change is me dying and you getting a compromiser in here. I didn't get your hopes up, I guess, huh? I'm not changing, beloved. I know what the book says. I know what the Bible says. I'm sticking by it. We're going to stay by the stuff. It doesn't matter what the world is doing. We've got to have God's power on us. But see, that spirit of non-compromising was the spirit of Ephesus. Good thing. But they left their first love. Bad thing. And that's how a church becomes dead in their orthodoxy. Because they don't have the unction from above. The power of the Holy Spirit. The presence of God. It's missing in their lives. And why? Why is it missing? Because Ephesus was not devotional. They weren't praying. They weren't praying without ceasing. They weren't continuing in prayer. They were happy where they were. Look, we got a good church. You know what? Believe everyone seems to be unified. Everyone's on the same page. Things are going well. That's not enough, beloved. That's not enough. Do you know what kind of church that we need to have here? We need to have a church that when people walk into our building, they sense the presence of God. There's conviction that comes over the lost. Not conviction that I need to be saved, but conviction is I can't go on. I need to be saved now. I need to be converted now. I sense the burden of my sin now. I'm guilty now. I appreciate the lost. They're concerned. They're steadfast and come to church. That's not good enough. I'm speaking to the saints now. We need conversions. We need the power of God that they had in the Bible where the place was shaken. Now, we may not experience a shaking here. But I'm telling you, spiritually, we need a shaking. Amen? And it's not going to come by you and I just showing up in suits and skirts. It's going to come because we've spent time with God. Amen. And we need men called to preach. And you know what we need? We need this place filled up. And you know what we need? We need an amen section in our church. This church has become too comfortable. I'm thinking of changing out these chairs and putting in some wooden planks to sit on. That'll get you amen and get me going and get the service done early. Amen? Yeah. All of a sudden, revival's broken out. The amen section's back. But you follow what I'm saying? I shouldn't have to prime the pump. You ought to come in here so filled with God, so excited about the Lord because you've been walking with Him from Monday to Saturday. This ought to be a time of a rejoicing, a time of praising, a time of worshiping God. And many times of preaching, it's like carrying up a baby grand piano on the side of a cliff. Because people haven't walked with God. People have not prayed without ceasing. People have not spent time bringing their requests before God. Why? I got money. I got a credit card. I don't need God for this. We miss so many blessings in our lives spiritually because we're not walking with the Lord. So she cries out, "Avenge me of mine adversary." So let me ask you something. Do you have a spirit of brokenness about you? Were you troubled by any of those things in the inventory of the heart? Well, there are a lot of things, preacher, I had to confess. Were you upset about in your life? Were you upset that they were even there? Do you pray? How often do you pray? How burdened are you in prayer? See, our prayers, beloved, ought to be from the heart. Maybe one of the prayers that you and I need to pray this week is, God, would you break me? I'm so tired of my hard-heartedness, my indifference, my tearlessness, my unconcern, my apathy, my indifference. What about your children? Are they all in the fold? Are they all saved? That ought to cause you great concern, beloved. It ought to be a burden you carry. Is prayer a vital part of your life? Jesus' life was immersed in prayer. I mean, you find him praying at his baptism. Praying for God's will for his life. Not my will, but thine be done. Jesus prayed that his crucifixion, that there would be certain people that are forgiven, that had sinned against him. I mean, we find where verse 5 here, the Bible says, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. What is she doing? Troubling me? She's wearying me. Now, how burdened or broken are you in your prayers? Do you have the spirit that this widow woman had? You know this verse. I've quoted it for years. You have not because of what? Yes, not. So you're broken over in your prayers. Are you broken over your sins? Are you broken over the unsaved? Are you broken over your church family? Are you broken over those who have turned from the truth? Beloved, I'm telling you, you need to read your Bibles. It is a rare time when someone turns from the Bible that they get recovered. You understand that? They usually turn to idolatry and immorality. Does that not bother you? Does that not trouble you? And some years are just oblivious to what's going on in your family. You better wake up. I'm just telling you. Because some of these young people, we had a great semester this past semester, but some of them, boy, they've got a taste and a sight for the world. If something spiritually doesn't take place where they get born again, they're going to make a left turn and maybe destroy their soul. So we see the exhortation to pray, the example now, the encouragement, verse 6 through 8. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with him? Now notice the revelation here in verse 6 or 7. Our Lord reveals to us that we need to consider the unjust judge's words, which is back in verse 5. Yet because this widow troubleth me. God says, go back and look at what he says. I will avenge her. Why? Because she's troubling me. Lest by her continual coming, she weary me. Can you weary? Could I weary God? No. How can you weary the Almighty? But he's given us a clue here. He's given us the answer to prayer. And again, notice verse 5. She troubled him. She continually came to him, wearying him. We're not going to weary God. God is the Almighty. But I'll tell you this. There's the example. That's what Jesus wanted us to know. To pray without ceasing, to continue in prayer. Now, we see the revelation, verse 7. Our Lord reveals to us himself. He said, and shall not God avenge his own elect? Which what? Day and night. All right, let's just stop right there. Don't raise any hands. Do you pray day and night? I'm not asking you you pray at lunchtime and dinner for your meal. I'm asking, do you pray throughout the day? Do you pray throughout the night? I realize you sleep all night. I understand that. But you get the point. Your waking hours are in fellowship with God. And see, if we're not praying day and night, then we're not following the pattern of this widow woman, as stated by the unjust judge, told by Jesus Christ. I remember years ago, a New Year's Eve service many times was nothing more than preaching on the return of Christ, the rapture of the saints. We're closer right now than ever before. You say, the activity of the world, beloved, listen to me. We're closer now than ever before. You don't have to have us ready to press a button or sending aircraft or ships or ground pounders. The rapture could happen right now. Right now. The trumpet could sound and we'd be out of here. But the thing is this, are you ready? Are all your prayers answered? Is God's will accomplished in your life? Could you say that I'm going to hear well done, thou good and faithful servant? I finished my course, I kept the faith, I fought a good fight. Could you say that right now? That everyone's in the fold? And I say to you, beloved, we have some praying to do. We have some praying. We cannot compare the unjust judge with the Lord, but the point is to understand the power of persistent prayer, the power of a broken prayer, the power of a believing prayer. Prayer that will not accept a no, a refusal, a rejection. Prayer that shall not be denied. Someone told me the other day of a preacher that had preached a revival meeting. And after the service that Sunday morning, no one was saved. And I knew the man. And he went off by himself in another room in this church that he was preaching at. And the preacher was locking up and so on. He heard, he said, "Where's Brother so-and-so?" And then he heard a faint cry. He hunted down the hallway, went in this room, and there he was weeping. Because no one was saved. Is that your spirit after Sunday morning? Or is what restaurant can we go to? Where can we eat? What are we going to have to eat now? Or is it another Sunday has passed without someone being saved? I remember years ago there was an evangelist who used to preach every so often in our family camp. I was not here for his before my time, but I was told by a couple of different men that they would hear him praying all night long. Get a little sleep during the day. One of the things he would pray, and you better be careful saying this, but I'm telling you what he said. He said, "Lord, I didn't come out here all this way to just preach some nice sermons." He said, "I want your presence here. I want souls. I want families put together. I want victories." And he prayed that throughout the evening, throughout the night, while others were sleeping. They woke up listening to him. Is that your spirit tonight? Is that your heart? Is that what you and I do? So we're encouraged to pray. And because God is just, verse 7, the Bible tells us that. Second of all, because God promises a speedy avenging. Third of all, because we're commanded to continue in prayer and watch in the same prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving, because it's a cure for a lack of faith, because it's the way to spiritual power. When they prayed, Acts 4:31, the place was shaken. They spake the word of God with boldness. When they prayed, they were filled with the Spirit. Are you filled with the Spirit tonight? Spirit of God controlling your life? Well, most of it, preacher. Well, that's not filling. Is this glass filled? Most of it is, but it's not filled. One reason is because I took a big drink out of it. Second is that it would be filled if it was right at the top. Then it's filled. We don't want to be three-quarters filled. We want to be filled with the Spirit. And God's not going to fill a dirty vessel. That's why the inventory of the heart is so important. And then last of all, a reason to pray is because it's God's appointed way to attain our needs. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Everyone asks and receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. He that knocketh shall Be open. Matthew 7. And then James 4, you have not because you ask not. And don't ask amiss. Don't ask a contrary to the Word of God. Ask according to the Word of God. And here's what I like to do tonight. I want to give an invitation. I'm going to ask all of God's people. I'm not asking the lost. I'm asking God's people to do what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. My people, which are called by name, shall what? Humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then. And I want to encourage you right now as we stand to our feet. I'm going to ask all God's people, you want to pray down here? You want to pray where you're at? You want to sit there? You want to get on your knees? However you want to do it. I'm asking you to respond to this message on prayer. And start this 10 days of praying off on the right foot. Would you stand to your feet, please? Heads bowed.